I don't like
国は自称を主の一部かとある女性が結婚するというそれはまあ大層不適な話だがしかしどういったらは我々 Wait for それでは聞いていただきましょう。
Welcome back. You are listening to 104.9 WJRH Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania, and this is Mocha Gumbo, and I'm Kevin.
And I'm...
Uh-oh.
This one's on.
Huh?
The other one. This is the one's on.
What are you on?
The one on.
Nothing like technical difficulties to start us off.
Other one.
There you are.
And I'm James. What's up?
And this is Mocha Gumbo again.
It wouldn't be Mocha Gumbo without...
Without some technical difficulties right at the beginning of the semester. Expect that in the winter, too. Interesting music choice.
Are you just louder than I am, or is this...
Here, give me a classic 1-2-1-2.
A 1-2-1-2?
Yeah, I'm louder than you are.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are back for the start of the fall semester. It's been a while.
One second, let me... So I'm on the right. Okay, all right. Maybe I'm just...
James, too... I'm watching your levels. I got you.
I just want to make
That's
sure
you.
I'm heard.
You're, I hear you.
Ready?
Nice.
This song is...
I actually really like this. James was a little nervous when he was putting this on today, or pre-show. He was like, I don't know if I want to do... Is this the J-pop one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. That's
weird.
That's the other cool thing about being gone for the summer is I have like a whole new... war chest of things we can put on because at the end of last semester or any semester really we just start getting lazy and just
like,
doing repeats.
Maybe I can play the song I played a month and a half ago.
Right. Well, because I don't have time to look at Discovery Weekly ever. I'll get really passionate over the summer because there's way more free time. And I'll just like listen to Discovery Weekly and I've probably got a good 40 or 50 new songs.
Yeah, I do have a lot in my repertoire. The only problem is a lot of the stuff I've been listening to is like more explicit stuff. And fortunately, until we do Kevin Jimbo at night.
I have to look that up because I may have misinformed one of my friends, but I'm pretty sure that after 10 p.m., the FCC standards are lax. I think they're less restrictive. I don't know. I feel like I heard that somewhere. But I think if you do a late night show, you get a little more leeway.
That might be the case.
But now I've been trained to be such a good boy on air that I don't know if I could do a 10 p.m. show.
I had a show in my freshman year with Ted. It was 11 to midnight on Mondays. It was wild.
Yeah.
Really good time.
Oh, with Ted. Ted.
Yeah, you know Ted.
I like Ted. Yeah.
He's a good kid.
I'm scared to use my phone right now because I'm recording on Teal.
But if I
tab out, I'll be all right.
We should be fine. And if not, then it's not our fault. The computer for the deck is like literally doesn't work right now.
Right. What's new? Let's catch people up, James. You know, our faithful listeners. Not that they would know our time slot anyway. So this first show doesn't matter.
We should put that on blast in some group chats or something.
I feel like the MP people are sick of it. If they're not listening now, they're never going to listen.
Well, I mean, I feel like a few of them did, but they don't know the new... Because we've been jerked around with
scheduling.
Schedule,
yeah.
We haven't had a consistent schedule in a semester or two.
I miss Fridays. Next semester. It's because it's really my fault because I'm always late.
I mean, I'm never the person to actually submit the form, so that's
I'm surprised I even got it through, because I just showed up to the studio.
Yeah, because
you
had the LSATs and stuff, too,
yeah,
right?
But I just showed up at the studio, and I found a box with a bunch of papers in it, and they were all our forms, and I just threw it in there.
Nice.
It could have been a discard box. It could have been like, oh, put these in the furnace, and I just
like
threw it in
garbage
there.
Garbage fire.
Yeah, but, yeah, so, yeah, let's catch the people up. And, well, I was going to say, actually, on as far as advertising, we have it's got to be 40 new people in MP.
Oh, in MP, yeah, wow.
So a bunch of new people. We
a lot
can
of
bother.
New kids. Oh, wow.
A lot of new
you
people.
You know what? We'll
start a group
Anna's
chat.
As the
and
VP,
just...
I can just tell her to blast our show in the group meet.
Yeah.
Or in the email.
This
song is explicit. That's my bad.
No, we really don't know. We can take us over to a coffee table if you want to.
If you'd like to, I don't mind. I can just play whatever.
I'll grab this coffee table. But we have a whole new slew of people that we can bother, and I'm not getting internet, so you're gonna have to do that for me.
All right.
So no crossfade. Typical first show.
Unfortunately,
lack of tech.
Here we go. This band is actually really good. Clans. They have like a single EP.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's the lead's voice, the lead singer's voice is very distinct. I like bands that have very distinct lead singers. You know, you have Adam Levine, right? Obviously.
Right.
If you know Mr. Wives, the lead, her voice is really great. This guy from Clans, just like when you hear a song, the lead singer of Ripe, I don't know if you know Ripe.
Nope.
But when you hear something, you're like, oh, this is them. It just clicks immediately. The lead singer of Streetlights Manifesto, I know all. I like having that. Because when I listen to a lot of popular music these days, and I don't want to be like the popular music, like mainstream stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I was listening to a song with Dua Lipa and someone else, and I was like, so is this Dua Lipa, Camila Cabello, Selena Gomez? I don't know who it is, right? Everyone's voices just sound very similar to me. Like, it's very very homogenized around like the higher pitched pop hip hop stuff now, right?
Right,
which isn't a bad thing. It's just it makes it difficult for me to understand who is singing and who I'm listening to, right? And it's the same way with, especially because both of my housemates this year, Steve and Ryan, are really into country music. And all of those guys sound the exact same way.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
well, I was actually thinking about this over the summer. So one of my favorite bands, really more of a nostalgic thing. And I don't even know if they're objectively good or I just like them because I grew up with them.
Mm-hmm.
But Motion City Soundtrack's Justin Pierre.
Okay.
He has very distinct vocals. And I listened to his alt band, you know, the one he left Motion City. Motion City disbanded.
Okay.
And he went to another band. And it's kind of awful for the rest of the band members when you have a incredibly redeeming vocalist.
Mm.
Because, now don't get me wrong, Motion City was talented. You know, the drummer was amazing. Bassist, guitar, they were all fine. The synth guy was great. But he went to his other band, and I really couldn't tell the difference. Because you can replicate a certain drum pattern, you can replicate certain guitar style, you can't replicate his voice.
Yeah.
So when he went to that band, it's like I'm listening to Motion City all over again, and I feel bad for the other four guys, because he could, that's the problem, because he could easily have a solo career.
Yeah, and he anchors it down.
Yeah, he doesn't have to worry about anybody else, so, but, you know, it's hard to, I don't know if I would sign on to that kind of band if I were, like, the instrumentalist.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, I'm just the sideshow. This
you know
guy is the one
that
who people care about.
Bleachers, the lead singer of Bleachers.
Hmm.
He was on Fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So what I've read is that Fun did not break up. They're on a hiatus, and they're all exploring their other things, but they're planning on coming out with music. So I just put on a coffee table, by the way. They're planning on putting out music at some point or something like that, but they're all in their personal... they're all in their personal ventures now.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how to feel about that. Whenever someone says they're on hiatus, I always get very not antsy, but more skeptical. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
really?
Well, I don't think you're gonna done? I don't know of a band that's gone on hiatus and then broken up during hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
Usually if you say you're on hiatus, you're gonna come back, at least for a single or an EP.
Yeah, maybe.
You know. Yeah, I don't know how the guy that I was listening to, Justin Pierre, with his new band, you still lose the dynamic with the other, because I know for a fact that he was one of those singers, and hopefully your band, if you're in a band and you're committing to them, you have a singer who's open to your songwriting, because I mean, a lot of singers are good lyricists, so they write their own songs. But he was very open with the rest of the band, so they had great lyrics. So even if you lose, you know, they're not totally, marginal. Like, they're just expendable. You do lose something when you go from one band to another. Like,
it's the chemistry, or just the familiarity at some point, right?
Do you know Jax Mannequin?
No.
Okay, well, that guy... Again, very distinct voice, and he moved around, and you can tell when he was moving, because with the new band members, they have totally different ideas, and there's definitely, they're a totally different band. So I guess it's not completely you're not entirely just focused on the vocalist, because the vocalist with other people will totally work differently. They'll produce different songs. They'll have different lyrics. They'll have a different mood. You know,
I guess that's fair.
Because like the first band was just a bunch of drug addicts, and it's like, yeah, we've got some dark, heavy stuff to tell you guys. And the next band was like, I don't know, like a Christian rock group.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. Because every time I've seen the lead of a band go to a different band, it's the exact same kind of sound. Mm-hmm. Especially like the one in particular that I'm thinking of is the lead singer of Streetlights Manifesto, who made Catch 22. Also, actually, it might have been Catch 22. To Streetlights Manifesto, it was some combination of one to the other, and they sound exactly the same. But again, it might just be that ska is a very homogenized genre, like I was saying with country. Because country, you hear the same chord progression and the same just kind of like sappy undertones, same thematics in all the songs. Yeah, right? They're always about so much. It's always about women.
I'm not very opinionated about a lot of things, but when it comes to country. Usually, I give everybody leeway. If you have an opinion, I'll be like, "Oh, okay, maybe this has some merits." If you like, if you like country, you're just dead wrong.
Yeah.
And well, I say that, and yet there is a certain atmosphere. Usually, in the backwoods of Virginia, near a lake, on a August afternoon, on a pontoon boat with Leinenkugel, whatever it is,
Leinenkugel, yeah.
Then, if country comes on and chicken fried comes on in that setting, I might bob my head, but I'm not happy about it. It's all circumstantial. Most of the time, if you like country, you're just, I can't entertain it. I don't know how you do it.
Country is like, you're sitting on a lawn chair inside your house on an 80-degree day, shirts off, you know, drinking whatever the heck you want, and you're just lounging, and then country comes on, and you're like, oh, hell.
I don't...
I gotta bop my head to this one.
Well, I don't get... Because that's what I think country is, and yet, you know, country. It's just like every... I don't know. For me, it's very circumstantial, and yet there's country stations that people listen to 24/7. I can't...
Well, that's what it's like at my house. It genuinely is country most of the time. And for me, country is a very passive music. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't actively listen to country, because it is... And I'm going to say the word for the third time in 10 minutes. You homogenize. If you heard one, you heard them all. So it doesn't matter what it sounds like to me, because it genuinely feels like one continuous cohesive song.
Yeah. And well, that's the thing. And I don't know. I always say this as a joke, but I think it's probably true. The themes, I think there are 5 themes in country songs.
Okay.
Like, I can't remember. I've heard some interesting music about really weird things. Mm. I don't know. Like, Cake. You know Cake, the band Cake?
Yes.
The Distance, short skirt, long jacket, whatever it is. Those are some weird songs about very interesting... You know, some of them are like ballad-like, like The Distance. They're just interesting. But country, I've yet to hear like a country song with like broad political sentiments or something like that. Yeah.
Well, it's formulaic.
I can't think of one that strays outside of a formula. The formula, which is
and
like,
you know,
tractor, woman, alcohol, hometown.
Hanging
with the boys. Yeah, that's it. I think we covered it.
Probably.
Those are the 5.
Like, the main thing is that, and I don't get me wrong, I don't dislike country music, and I actually genuinely think country music is catchy, right? It has a good chord progression. For a lot of the songs, and the lyrics are very debased, and they're easy to listen to, for lack of a better, you know, I don't want to be dissecting the whole genre, but it is catchy, but it's only catchy because they figured out a formula. They were like, oh, this is good, and then let's just do it again and again.
And let me be clear, it's not just country that does this. Like, I also hate most R&B pop. It's terrible. There's like, the kick drum is my worst enemy.
Really? You think so?
It's just everywhere. And like, if you have a good kick drum and like a cute, catchy line in a chorus, you're fine. You're fine.
That's true. Yeah.
I get, like, most poppy, clubby songs are that. It's like good kick drum or a good drum line, and then one turn of phrase from verse to chorus, and everyone goes crazy.
Okay, yeah. No, you're right.
You know what I mean?
That's pretty much music, yeah.
Yeah. So that's also terrible. There's a lot of genres, all sorts of genres get caught in that.
Yeah, and it's not even, we're not bashing on like present day music either. Like, this is something that happened in the 70s and the 80s.
Well, the problem with country is they've been caught in this timeless. For like 50 years.
It's literally.
They had Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash was, he belongs to country, I think.
He doesn't seem like country to me. I don't even know.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think maybe he's like proto country, and I think
proto country.
He had some interesting things to say, and then after he died, and nobody else went to Folsom Prison, the genre died.
Mm. Yeah,
what needs to happen is we need another cowboy to go to San Quentin, and have some really interesting music.
What, like neo-country?
yeah, that's like dark country.
That'd be so funny.
That's crazy. That? And it's funny, think about it. I mean, he was the Man in Black. Like, he did have a cowboy persona, and he came out with, like, he was covering Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time, like,
it's almost like a dark folk. It's...
Yeah.
But not, like folk we think today. Like, folklore folk.
Mm.
Like, Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Folk. Yeah. Oh, I guess that also kind of belongs to...
What is that genre of that music? That's not country, yeah.
It could be like country ballad.
It's like
John Denver's, it's like metal, John Denver's country, and I kind of like John Denver.
I guess. It's because like Devil Went Down to Georgia, the song, it's like a violin, but it's like metal violin, you know what I mean? Like it's...
Well, the fiddle belongs to country.
Does the fiddle belong to country?
I mean, I feel like...
Much like the horn belongs to ska?
Yeah, I think so. Not the violin, the fiddle. Like, playing it like that?
Yeah.
I feel like I can think of a couple of songs where either fiddle is mentioned or fiddle is played.
I guess the distinction then is between country and pop country.
Right.
Because most of what we're talking about is pop country.
Yeah, that's true. And that would be, like, people talking about, like, pop punk. You know? If you were a punk fan, and I was, you know, when I was and I hated my third grade teacher or whatever.
What defines pop punk versus punk? Can you give me examples of both?
Well, pop is popular, so I think whatever majority rules is on punk, that's not punk. Like, well, that's what people, it's like people who are really into the niche punk scene and like know everything and know all up-and-comers, it'd be like, anything that sells to a lot of people, of course, isn't representative of the genre, or like the nuances and good parts of the genre, because it's just the most sellable thing. So if anyone said, oh, I don't like country, and you'd be like, no, you don't like pop country.
Yeah.
Or I don't like punk. Oh, you probably don't like pop punk.
So pop punk being like Green Day and...
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not saying they're bad.
And stuff like that.
That's fine if you like pop punk, but if you don't like that general style of music because you think it sounds all the same, and you could probably say that about punk, then, you know, most people who really are really into the thick of the music are, you know, could reasonably say you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And that would that borders on the idea of gatekeeping. I know a lot of people hate that. I hate the idea of gatekeeping.
I don't really know what that is.
You know what gatekeeping is?
No.
So gatekeeping is when I guess this is more for people who are fans of a genre. So if you listen to a band, right? And you say, oh, I like this band a lot. And it's one of those, oh, can you name 5 songs?
Or
like,
oh,
that's
yeah,
what gatekeeping
yeah. okay,
is. It's like,
yeah,
you're not
yeah,
a true fan if X, Y, and or Z.
Right. right.
Like, you're not a true fan unless you've listened to every single one of their songs, something like that. That's gatekeeping. So I guess that is more of a, like, liking the band. But I guess you could do a reverse gatekeep where it's like, you can't not like this if you haven't listened to the more finer, you know, the more niche aspects of it.
Right.
Like, you can't say you don't like punk if you've only listened to Green Day, Blink-182, etc., right?
Exactly. And
but I don't think I've ever heard that argument.
What, reverse gatekeeping?
Yeah.
I have.
I'm going to coin that from now on.
I actually, over the summer, I was in a basement somewhere.
Okay.
With a bottle of Jack.
which we can say no because we're 21.
Yeah. I was just letting my phone play. And I don't know how it was on this playlist, but George Gershwin was on the playlist.
Mm-hmm.
And it came on, and some guy was bashing it. And I was like, some guy. It was my best friend. Never mind. Oh, it's wow. all coming back to me now. And I, I like, we had a screaming argument
really? Wow.
about classical music. And I was, and it's like American classical. It's not even that classical. Mm. You know, it's like pretty new, relatively.
Neoclassical, if you will.
And I, stop using that prefix.
I love it. It's so funny to me.
And I, but we had a screaming match and I was telling him that. I was like, you can't tell me classical's bad because you heard Gershwin and you didn't like it.
Mm.
You know? Like, I don't necessarily...
Did Rhapsody in Blue? Or was that...
That's what I was listening to, yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Right.
How and does I was, he not like that?
That's what I was... I don't know. And he was calling me out. He's like, oh, you don't like... You know, you don't like, you know, modern rap, really. And I was like, yeah, but I've heard songs that disprove me not liking all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or disliking all of it. And yeah, it's true. I think reverse gatekeeping is a thing. All right, we're coming up to 4:25. I've been talking for a while. We are going to take a short music break.
Alrighty.
And I'm going to have to log this on my phone with the tab open. And sorry, this is very hard to do. we're going to be listening to a song called Get Well City. I don't know if you've ever heard of this.
I have not.
I found it over the summer. Hopefully it's not explicit. We're going to find out, though.
Oh, God.
But it's a really interesting... And if you go on Spotify and you look it up, I can't believe this is not a, you know, Billboard Top 100 song right now.
Really?
It is. I think it's such a good radio song, like a perfect song for radio. It's catchy. I think it has a lot of different uses. Like, it's a good driving song. I think it's a good party song.
Hmm.
Maybe it's just the scene we're in right now. I don't know why this isn't up there. But I found it over the summer while listening to, you guessed it, Discover Weekly. And, I was on my way to Atlantic City while listening to it, so it was kind of fitting.
Oh, nice.
And now I gotta find it, but,
I looked through my music, and a lot of the stuff that I got over the summer, I actually can't play on the radio, so we'll start figuring
that.
It out.
Yeah. All right, so we're gonna play you... Get Well City by Felix Hagen and the Family. Take a listen, and I have a feeling I'm going to be opening a lot of people's minds right now, because I really enjoy this song.
Our many viewers.
I always wonder how many people are listening on radio, because I usually listen to the radio on my way up to school.
Okay.
So I imagine at least 20.
Wow.
I would like to say 20.
That's a lot of people.
I think 20. I'm confident. I can hear me as soon as I get off the exit of 278 or whatever it is. Or I can hear the radio station. So I'm hopeful, but we'll see. If I can get at least one person to hear this song,
that's fair.
I'll be happy. But yeah, this is Get Well City by Felix Hagen and the Family. Hope you enjoy it, and we'll be back soon. Or not, because Aux 1 isn't working.
Do you have service?
Yeah, I have service. I'm playing right now. Just not.
Let me tell us.
I got it. Okay. I got nice. It. All right, we're fine. Get Well City by Felix Hagen and the Family. Hope you enjoy it. We'll be back in a few moments.
Well, I spend my days getting murdered with some grouse you might have heard of, sucking down on dirty dreams to get me through. These days my brains are numbed, and now it seems my days are numbered. Oh my darling, tell me, what am I to do? Well, you said my son has just begun, because now it's time to go. Going down to Get Well City, going down to fix my head. Gonna drink myself real silly on the way. Gonna drown in my self-pity, to bed, and I won't come back until they fade away. See, I've been caught by the seduction, the tortured souls and self-destruction, and I set my sights on burning out right quick. Not to mention my affection for being the center of attention. Stir it up and just scream and shout, well, that boy is sick. Going down to Get Well City, going down to fix my head. Gonna drink myself real silly on the way. Gonna drown in my self-pity, gonna put my sins to bed. And I won't come back until they fade away. So darling, don't be gentle, and please don't spare the rod. Just beat me till my bones are showing through. You say my body is a temple, but I don't believe in God. So knock it down and build me something new, yeah.
to blow me off for something that I didn't even do. You wanna lead me on, but honey, I don't play by the rules. Been acting like the queen of California. Red stoplight every time I put it on ya. And do you wanna take a ride in my automobile? If you're lucky, baby, I'll even let you hold the wheel. You've been acting like the queen of California. Red stoplight every time I put it on ya.
Listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania. Welcome back to Mocha Gumbo. I'm James.
And I'm Kevin. And we are...
played a lot more songs than we usually do.
Yeah, we played a whole four.
but it was in a row, so it probably seemed like, you know,
yeah. Well, yeah, that's like 15 minutes.
Uncharacteristic for us.
Yeah, that was interesting. I like that last one. That was, by the way, again, Queen of California by Clans. That was pretty good. Interesting. A lot of ups and downs. It was that was a very... you know how most songs are just structured chorus, verse, bridge, maybe, and then verse? That had a lot of different moving parts.
Yeah, Clans is just like... they're like, you know what? It sounds good, so why don't we just do it?
Mm-hmm.
And they just do it.
Yeah, I like that. I like when they take... because, to be honest... I don't like chorus verse, you know, format because it's so predictable. And after you're about halfway through, unless there's some incredible lyrics, you can turn it off.
Yeah.
So a song that has like three different things to look forward to, you know,
where like, it ends three times.
Yeah. it just keeps you on your feet and you'll actually listen to the whole thing. Cause I find myself personally, once I'm done with like, oh, the first minute of this song is awesome. Next, you know, like I won't listen to the full thing. I think that's why songs like, Hotel California, and even though that's semi-predictable, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, Bohemian Rhapsody defies...
Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. Even though they're so long, there's like four or five different parts to look forward to, you know? Just like awesome little riffs or like the piano arpeggios and Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. Yeah, it's like, yeah. And then the goes to a totally different song like four or five times. Now it's just like 3 minute snapshot. Awful.
Mm-hmm. It's just, you make the first minute good and then, you know, Control-C, Control-V, Control-C, uh-huh. Control-V.
Honestly, probably.
I would not put it past people, really.
So we are coming up to the top of the hour. James, I feel like we should tell the one listener who's listened to us for six semesters how we did over the summer. What'd you do again?
I worked at a bank. I was doing IT.
Mm.
Lakeland Bank, for anyone who knows, in the New Jersey state. I believe it's the North and the Central Jersey, if you believe in Central Jersey, which...
I live in Central Jersey.
Yeah, okay, kid. Do you guys have Lakeland where you are?
I don't think so.
Oh, great. Anyway, that was fun. I learned a lot about IT. I learned a lot about hardware. I learned mostly that I don't want to be doing that for the rest of my life.
Hey, me too.
It's a very stagnant field, and I didn't see any room for growth, either mentally or professionally, so...
Well, you got one thing out of the way.
I mean, it was good. The people I worked with were fantastic people, so it was a good experience. And yeah. I got a lot of professional, like, you know, workplace mannerisms and stuff. So
yeah, even eliminating something from your list is good. And
yeah,
experience is experience.
How about you?
I did publishing. Very interesting. This is a cool little anecdote. Or not publishing. I did more advertising.
You just wanted to bring this up so you could say your thing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, of course I did. Well, unless you had something interesting to say, but you didn't. You worked at a bank.
Ow.
You did. Let me just reiterate so you understand how that sounds from the other side. You did IT at a bank and hated it.
I didn't hate it. It was just boring.
Mildly didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, that's fair. I got into a rut. Well, not necessarily a rut. I got into a routine. I got too comfortable with the job. Nothing ever challenged me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because once I was like, I got thrown in and I was like, what do I do? And then 6 weeks in, I was like, yeah, okay, like...
Yeah, yeah. A similar feeling. I mean, most internships, I think, are pretty... There's only so much they can do to make it extraordinary.
Yeah.
Their interns are their least worry. I mean, there's not much... Yeah. Unless they do a lot of inside hiring, most of the time, there's not much they can offer you.
Yeah, well, the problem is I don't want that to happen at my real job.
Yeah.
And then have it be like, oh, cool, well, I'm in this rut, or I'm too comfortable in this position... I'm just going to do it for 30 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
See, I'm okay with that.
Really? Knowing you, I could see that.
Once I'm comfortable, I'll be comfortable. Unless, of course, I'm sure I'll have another four or five crises throughout my life, and I'll be a painter for 2 years. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. Eighth life crises, the quarter life crises.
Yeah, there's a lot. As you get older, as the lifespans grow, you've got plenty of crises to look forward to.
Yeah.
But, so, over the summer, I did marketing for... We're basically like publishing marketing and working with and for a lot of different authors. And we did a launch party for this guy, Jesse Itzler, who wrote a book called Living with a Seal. It was a New York Times bestseller.
Okay.
We did a launch party and I was, you know, doing intern stuff. I was working the bar. Right. Yeah. Nice. Very cute. You've done a couple of those where, like, totally not okay, but because you didn't say anything explicitly, it's like, it goes. So I did the intern thing, and I worked the bar, and it was just pouring wine and beer for people, and I don't know what just went through your head. But anyway,
I think I'm hilarious. I'm sorry.
Continue. You are funny. It's just I can't dignify your reactions with a response for fear of FCC regulations. So anyway, I was working the bar, and actually, I was working with another student. Her mom actually posted the thing. You know how we have that like Lafayette internship page?
Yeah.
You can look for internships. I found it on there. And I applied, and then I found out it was a mother of a student that goes here who knew me. I didn't know her at the time. Cool. But she was awesome, and we were working the bar together, and it was really fun. And this guy comes up and asks for a red wine, and I'm like, yeah, sure, and I'm looking at him. I'm like, he looks vaguely familiar. I'm like, I don't know who this guy is. I think he might be a celebrity. And then someone from across the room goes, hey, DMC! DMC over it. And then I,
no way.
I'm like, look at, I'm like, no way. That's and then so I like funny. Leaned in as the game was on. I'm like, are you like, are you Run DMC? He goes, yeah, man. I was like, oh my God. I ran. That was the second day I was there. So I was funny. Like, I was like hyped at that point for this internship. And when I got down to the ground floor, I like called my dad. It's like, cause he's a big Motown and yeah. just, he loves blues, R&B, big fan. And I was like, you're never going to guess what happened on my second day here. It was really cool. The guy actually who wrote the book, I think he's the owner of the Atlanta Hawks.
Interesting.
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting people there.
Oh, Falcons.
Falcons? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But a lot of interesting people. That was the coolest part is you're working on behalf of everybody wants to publish a book.
Mm.
Every personality wants a book. And there's so many different kinds of people. And it was really cool meeting all those different types of folks.
That's good.
I met like a, there was like a feminist author we were working with. There was Leopoldo Goot, who's like James Patterson's buddy. Bunch of different people, and they were all really diverse, you know. Like one, the Jesse Itzler, you know, he was like hyped and like he was like, well, you know, self-motivator, go-getter, and then Leopoldo Goot's like really abstract artist and thinker.
Holding the skull.
Yeah, there's all, it was just a whole range of humanity, but it was cool. And then LSAT studying. That was my summer.
Yeah, LSAT. How was that?
Oh, man. I get results, and every time I say I'm going to get my results, it sounds like I'm getting the like response to a terminal test, illness. Like a terminal illness, and that's what it feels like in 5 days. Exactly.
I'll vomit for you.
Yeah, please. It feels horrible. But
they're going to give them to you on a Saturday?
Yeah. Isn't that awful?
Well, I guess what you do that night will really change based on the outcome, right?
You're absolutely right. I already said that. I'm like, either way. My friend was like,
just a sentiment.
Do you want to go out? And I was like, yeah, but here's the thing. There is no way around my behavior that evening.
Yeah.
I would honestly, I'd rather have it on a Saturday, because if it happens on a Tuesday and I'm not happy, there goes my Tuesday. I'm not doing anything. That's really fair. I'll be just wallowing.
You'll probably be done for the rest of the week, honestly.
Yeah, no, it'll kill me. And Saturday, at least, you know, get Saturday, do my thing, and then Sunday, cool off, you know, and then Monday, be like, all right, let's get back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see. You'll either see me streaking across campus, or you won't see me for the next 4 months.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's concerning.
No, it's all right. There's like another two, but just, it's one of those things. I was taking it and everybody asks you, you know, oh, how'd you do? I have no idea. Mm. I don't know if this is, I've been asking everyone cause I'm not sure if it was just me, but I don't know if you've ever taken a test that's so long that when you're finally done, you get up and you try to remember how the test went. And it was just so long that you forgot the first part while by the time you were fifth part.
I completely understand that.
You know, so everyone was like, how'd you do it? I felt like I blacked out for 5 hours. It was a 5 hour test.
Mm.
So like you have to move, you can't linger. If a question bothers me or I'm not sure of it, I can't linger on it. You just have to ignore it and keep going.
Yeah.
So I don't remember anything.
My dad's trying to get a lot of extra financial certs, certificates, right?
Mm.
And the exams he has to take for those are like 6-7 hours.
Really?
Like that. And he's like, yeah, because in addition to doing his job, which is absolutely like astronomically difficult, he does the studying for these certificates too, so he has more credentials, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's like, yeah, I took the 6-hour exam, and I think I'm just done. Like this is on like a Saturday, and he's like, I think I'm just gonna like lay down and, you know, wake me up on Monday. Like it's brutal. Yeah. It's insane.
It's this crazy, like, I don't know if you remember the SATs, the ACTs.
Yes, I do.
But it's like mind fog, you know, because it's draining.
You stand up and you're like, you forget how to stand for a second.
I don't think people generally aren't used to thinking critically or analytically for more than an hour at a time.
Because
usually if you're reading for homework or something, you'll read for like 40 minutes, 45 minutes, take a 5 minute break, you know, just rest your eyes even, and then keep reading. Most people don't do 3 hour marathons and burn through 80 pages of like an academic journal. That just doesn't happen. But with these, they're like, we're sitting you down, you're getting this done, you know, because I don't even think it's necessarily timed because they want to see how you do under stress. I think it's under duress. I think they, it's time just as a practical thing.
Yeah,
you can't take a 10-hour exam, you know?
Yeah, the thing with that, too, is you know the exact feeling, because when did they start for you, like, time-wise? What time?
What time did they start?
Yeah.
It was 9.
Yeah, so, like, I believe it's the same with the SATs, where they either start at, like, 9 in the morning or 10 in the morning, and you're there for 3 to 5 hours, depending on what kind of exams. Because when I was in school, I took the SATs into an AP exam. So that was, like, 5 hours.
One or straight shot?
No, 2 AP exams in a row, rather. So that was, like, 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And by then, it's like, 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, like it's still very much the daytime, but you walk outside and you're like,
oh, boy.
Oh, my God. This is what the outside world looks like. And you feel horrible.
Yeah, it's a slog. I feel
like you
I
go home
bad.
And you go to bed at like 2:30, right? Uh-huh. Like it's awful.
Oh yeah, I was. Oh, now that you mention it, yeah, I was drained after the
mentally, physically.
You know what's funny? I tried so hard in the SAT. I didn't do that well.
Mm.
I took it 3 times, and I didn't do that well for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, you know, I was just mad. After the third time, it bumped my super score like 10 points.
Mm.
I was like, man. And then my mom was like, Kev, just go take the ACT. I'm the amount of man hours into the SAT had to have been around 100 at least. Should go take the ACT. I never studied. I didn't look at a single thing. Nothing. And I took the ACT, and that's all I used. I didn't use the SAT at all.
Literally the exact same way for me. Except I only took the SAT once. The SAT once, I was like, oh, okay, well.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, there's also the ACT, I guess. Like, do most schools take the ACT? And my mom was like, yeah, probably. And I was like, all
it's
right,
like half and
it.
Half. It's actually, you know, geographic?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like most of the southern United States use the ACT. Hmm. Anyway.
Anyway, I did phenomenally.
Yeah.
And much better than the SAT. Like, you know.
When you compare.
If you were converting or whatever. And I was like, all right.
Well. Dude, I was mad. Because if I had taken
I didn't care. I was like, you know what? I'm happy with this. Like, whatever prep and whatever I did for the SAT doesn't matter.
Well, I was just... Because that would have... If I could have taken the ACT, I could have saved... I could have had 100 hours of me time, you know? Sure. But yeah, it's funny how that worked out. Okay, we got... Oh, my... You know what I forgot?
Word of the day.
It's the word of the... It's time for the word of the day. And I think this is up.
I don't know.
I don't think we have it. We don't have a tune. Unless you want that to be the new thing.
Or I guess word of the week then, right?
It is the word of the week. But I don't want to... I feel like by saying the word of the week, I'm implying that people can't take it upon themselves to have a new word every day.
Well, this is our word of the week.
I looked up word of the week by accident. All right. So we're now doing usually two. We do two. Yeah. We have the Merriam-Webster one. Today is glade. Definition, an open space surrounded by woods.
That's a good one. I've heard that one before.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of video games. Video games are big on glade.
They love that stuff.
I think Blizzard must use the word glade probably 100 times in their anthology.
Glade. You know what? Things, other locations I only hear in video games really, Quarry.
Quarry?
Wharf is a good one, right? When's the last time you heard Wharf?
Oh, that's true. Video games, I think video games have a monopoly on the word Wharf.
Yeah. They definitely have very specific, like, either old-timey or fantasy-sounding location names. Right?
Ramparts?
Ramparts is a good one.
That's a big video game one.
Promenade.
I've seen Menagerie.
Menagerie is a good
used
one.
Used a lot.
I like that a lot.
I never really thought about it, but yeah, that's true. There are words that, if it weren't for video games, would be absolutely inert and dead. all right, so that's Glade for you. That's Merriam-Webster's.
It's incredible word of the day. How like ubiquitous they are to video games, right? Like,
the words, just,
yeah,
it's yeah, and also there are certain weapons that never would be in like the public conscience
like
if
a
it
falchion.
Wasn't for or a scimitar, probably not.
Yeah. Like a flanged mace, or a polearm, or any kind of polearm.
Flail. You know,
flails
like
are good. Yeah.
These would not like exist. That. Yeah, a mace, definitely mace. Broadsword, greats. I know every type of sword.
A rapier.
Oh yeah, sure.
I guess
sure.
Rapier is more like. I guess noblemen, in some sense, they're probably still popular in Western Europe.
I just don't think anyone would know what they're called.
Yes.
I feel like 90% of the 18 to 24 demographic could name most...
most swords.
Most swords.
And fantasy locations.
Most swords and obscure geographic synonyms.
Yeah, I can see that.
All right, and the other word of the day is sibilate. I believe that's how it's pronounced. Let's go to our computer for confirmation.
Nice.
Thank you, computer. I'm going to go with sibilate. To utter or pronounce with a hissing sound, to hiss. Now, fun fact.
Like sibilate.
Sibilate, yeah.
Sibilate. Like I just sibilated.
You just sibilated the word sibilate.
Yeah.
Now, actually, when I took radio in high school, we learned how to control something called sibilance, which is this. It's really something.
Stop.
But actually, that's what... typically, there's like tons of different filters you can use. I don't know if these control for sibilance, but they really like tone down that. Also, I forget the word, but there is a word for picking peppers in a prairie pie.
Isn't that just what a pop filter is for?
Yeah, but there's a word like sibilance for that. I don't know what it is, but if
look it up. To utter or pronounce with a popping sound.
All right.
We should be done in a second. Also. I don't want to be keeping the next person.
Yeah. Wait. Hold on.
Oh no.
No. All right. We'll do some research over the week, but yeah. So that was our first episode. We're back, baby.
I mean, it was.
We're back.
I felt a lot more comfortable this time than usual.
Yeah. Well, it's been six semesters now.
It has been. Yeah.
It's crazy. And we'll be back for a whole semester this time, and re-upping next time. But for now, you are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania. This was Mocha Gumbo, and I am Kevin.
And I am James.
And have a wonderful week.
Then along came Goliath and clipped his wings.
And it looks like you took me the same old